just come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to the first of what are going to be the PID Daily Shows. Sort of like the Jon Stewart Daily Show.
Yes, except funnier.
With less humor.
Yeah. Funnier and with less humor, which is the really weird thing about the whole thing. Yeah, we decided the times are such that we feel compelled to... get this out, and as part of our therapy, we will be commenting on what's going on.
I know. I type it. My hands are tied behind my back. Actually, Derek and I were out walking a couple of days ago, and we, you know, we've been through a lot here in the last few weeks, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we were just walking and talking about all the things that are going on here in the world, and while we have felt over the last few weeks that we should probably do a PID radio show, there's just so much that tackling it all in one show, mm-hmm. it can be overwhelming. And with regards to the flu, H1N1 and all of that, we'll talk about that too this week. There are just so many things that need to occur that honestly, originally I said, well, let's hold off. But anyway, as we were walking, we said we maybe ought to do just a 15-minute daily show, and mm-hmm. we'll see if we can keep it to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were planning on starting this last night, and we had a number of things happen last night. We ended up just the evening got away from us, and we just simply didn't have time. But we did end up getting to, you know, share some time with a wonderful friend, and you know, the Lord has brought her into our lives, mm-hmm. and when the opportunity arises that we're not going to, you know, not fellowship with her. So anyway, the plan was to start it tonight, and my computer crashed today.
Which is really ironic.
Yeah, you can go ahead and say why it's ironic, and then I'll go more into that. But
there's been a lot of email traffic going back and forth and around the web about the computers of several of our good friends, Tom Horn for one, David Flynn for another, and Sue Bradley, who has written an excellent series at Sharon has compiled and posted at peeringintodarkness.com.
Oh, and she's written some amazing things over at Raiders News. I mean,
right.
She's writing all the time, and Sam's whining all the time. He's over on the side, just not very happy right now.
But you know, computers are prone to failure. They're not the most reliable pieces of equipment ever. And especially Windows machines connected to the internet are prone and susceptible to viruses, Trojans, malware, all kinds of things that can cause massive failure.
Now, I don't know if Sue's was a Windows machine. She likes Macs and she tends to use Macs, so I don't know why.
So, but, you know, it was just an odd coincidence that three machines of people who are writing about the influence of the supernatural in this world from a Christian perspective had computer troubles at the same time. And there was a lot of speculation and a lot of web traffic, you know, theorizing that perhaps this was a targeted attack by Men in Black or whatever.
Well, and honestly, we don't know why they crashed. We really don't. It could be that they were targeted. It could be that it was just a coincidence. But how odd that today mine decided to just die.
Yeah, yeah. But
I got the strangest message. You know what those, the old label makers were like, you know, they had, it was a black background,
uh-huh.
and you saw raised white lettering on, and it was like somebody laid about a dozen of those of various lengths mm-hmm. across my desktop, and the Mac would do nothing else after that.
Yeah.
There's a behind the scenes sort of, program that runs called, what's it called?
Unix.
It's Unix, but I mean, you actually go into.
Oh, Darwin.
No, that isn't it. It's the terminal, I think.
Oh,
but anyway,
right.
That will actually bring up messages from time to time if the computer is in big trouble, but this was nothing like that. It was like I was suddenly in a movie and nothing would work. But anyway, I've spent the entire day. I had to I saved what I could. I honestly don't know if I got everything saved. I don't know if I got most recent copies of things saved. I'll find out. But my computer was dying as I was saving things. It was just refusing to do it. Would not save emails. So anyway, I had to rewrite the drive, which meant that I had to reload. And it is working right now. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for that. It's a brand new, lean, mean fighting machine. But I had to reinstall Word and Entourage and all of those. Entourage is the Mac client from Microsoft.
There's your trouble. It's set to evil. Switch is set to evil. That's your problem right there.
I know. Well, I got to tell you, when I log in to my Gmail account, it's downloading nearly 10,000 messages.
10,000 messages.
Now, I got to tell you, I'm diligent about going into Gmail and deleting what's there. So I don't have a whole lot of stuff sitting in there, even though I'm using, I think it says 0% of the storage capacity. Well, now I know why they have such big storage capacity. No matter what you do, no matter how often you delete those messages, they reappear.
Well, you know, it's Time Lord technology, you know, for your Doctor Who fans. See, it's bigger on the inside than it appears from the outside.
Apparently so. Yeah. Not only did it download them, it downloaded them 3 times. It was set to evil.
I'm not sure I've received 10,000 emails in my life. Well, you know, not including, of course, those all natural supplements for, you know.
Well, yes.
From Smiling Bob. I don't know. But aside from, that is really bizarre.
So you physically have
gone to gmail.com and deleted those files.
You've
not done it through. Okay, so I want to make clear to people.
No, I've gone online.
Right.
And deleted those files. Now, I have it set so that it's supposed to delete them when I delete them.
Mm-hmm.
I always have it set that way. But I go in there and there they are.
I
go in and I take them out.
I remember we talked about this one time before. About how those files are still on Gmail, even though your email client is set to erase them when you erase them from your email client.
I know.
But you've been going in and deleting them.
I physically went online and, checked off
there.
All those. Yes, they're still there. They've magically reappeared.
Huh. So the question is, how long is Gmail holding these emails? If you use Gmail,
how many of your emails
are still there?
Yeah, every email I have ever received at Gmail was up there.
Huh.
Going back to, when did we get the Gmail accounts? Early
2007,
late 2006, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of email, and they shouldn't be there.
Yeah, and that didn't include the ones that were in the junk folder. It started to download those, and that's when I just sort of thought, this is not happy time. So I did some tweaking and fixed that, but they're there. They're online. They're there. I mean,
so Gmail is apparently saving them. Google is saving these things somewhere, even though they say they're not.
So if you want to send us an email, send it to thepeeringintodarkness.com. Don't send it to my Gmail account.
Because it might get lost in the flood.
It might be there forever.
Yeah.
I've looked at our server and it says that when we delete them, thepeeringintodarkness.com. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Well, interesting. And an interesting side note to what's going on out there today. And again, just ironic that all this is happening after we've been, you know, seeing these emails going around.
I know.
And to be honest with you, I went and kind of emailed around a couple of folks and said, look, don't panic about these things. There are a lot of reasons that computers may crash.
Exactly.
So don't get too worked up about this. Frankly, even if it is a targeted attack, which it might well be, we have no way of knowing one way or the other.
No.
Jesus said, look, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. If you were of the world, the world would love you. But if you're not of the world, which of course as Christians we are not, we're in it but not of it, the world will hate you.
I talked about that today in an article that I wrote, that Christians really shouldn't have a panic button anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And sadly, there is no easy button either. Well, with the exception, with the exception of you know, the whole redemption
salvation
thing. Salvation thing. That's the easy button.
That's
there.
The easy button.
Sadly, too many of us mistake worldly possessions and goods as the you know, evidence that the easy button is working.
Yeah.
So
anyway, yeah, it's been kind of, like I said, over the last few weeks, we've had a number of things, including my mother passing away. And I just want to thank everybody who wrote. Many people sent condolences either at Facebook or Twitter or emailing me, you know, privately and or commenting to the little note that I put on my webpage. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You know, the prayers, boy, did they make a difference. It was in many ways, it was really glorious because Mom was a believer, is a mm-hmm. believer. She's with Jesus now. She's with Dad, who also believed. I mean, they, gosh, you know what? They're so happy now. They're young. They're younger than I am.
And, you know, we had a wonderful message preached at the funeral service.
Oh, yeah.
By the pastor of your home church, the church in which you grew up, the church in which you got saved.
Amen. That church is 160 years old, and, yep. and we got to sit there. The old sanctuary is now actually the dining room. Mm-hmm. So we sat in there because they fed us, and I was able to point out the many things that I, you know, just sort of drank in as a kid. Mm-hmm. The things that helped really form who I am. And despite that, Derek still liked the building.
It's a charming little church. In more towns, I think this country would be a better place for more
it
churches
is.
Like that, and more pastors like that who have the courage to stand up at a funeral of potentially wounded and grieving relatives of the deceased and say, look, here's what you need to know right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, while this is fresh in your mind, here is what you need to hear.
Well, speaking of what you need to hear, we've got about 5 minutes left, four minutes left on this supposed 15-minute foray.
Yeah, we're
starting. So what have you got to talk about?
Well, there are a lot of things going on in the world. I think the press was a little too eager to write off H1N1, the swine flu, about a week and a half ago. We noted it, and of course, this figures prominently in Sharon's Armageddon strain plot, and sort of tangentially in the God conspiracy. You know, the more of an avian flu theme in those books. But you know, the fact that a pandemic flu was inevitable
mm-hmm.
Is something that we have been hearing for some time, and that sort of prompted the direction of those books. The case fatality rate in Mexico, which was hard to pin down, but based on their estimated number of ill versus the number of people they suspect died from the swine flu over the first couple of weeks, was running at about 6%. Doesn't sound like a lot compared to other diseases like Ebola, but consider that the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 killed anywhere from 20 million to 100 million people. Mm-hmm. There's no accurate total. With a case fatality rate estimated at between 2.5% and 5%.
Right.
So if this case fatality rate is running at about 6%, then we've got a real problem on our hands because it's at least as deadly as the Spanish flu of 1918.
Well, potentially we do have a huge problem on our hands, and it's not over. You know, regardless of how it wants to, you know, I know that there are some out there that are saying this whole thing is a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
But just what I know about genetics, I can tell you that if indeed there is an H1N1 combo recombinant virus out there,
mm-hmm.
It's not over.
Right.
We're just now seeing the first wave of it.
And at peeringintodarkness.com, Sharon has done an excellent job of combining a group of information there on where these cases have been reported and latest information from a really good source. You may remember a couple of years back, we talked with Dr. Henry Nyman. In fact, the archived interviews have been posted to pidradio.com, so you can listen to those from about, 4 years ago now. And he says that the World Health Organization should declare this a phase 6 pandemic, which is the highest rating. It's like a you know, a category 4 or 5 mm-hmm. hurricane. It's like a, you know, what is the on the tornado scale, the highest you can go, an F10 or F whatever,
F5. I think it's an
F5. So the phase 6 of a pandemic is that intense.
Well, and it also it instructs the world as to how they're going to deal with it. You know, there are certain monies that are released. There are certain activities that take place under a phase 6 as opposed to a phase 5. 5 and 6 are considered sort of the peak of, you know, and after that it's recovery and all this kind of. So they've got all these phases. But I wrote an article today at Peering Into Dark, at PID News, which is peeringintodarkness.com. We're going to eventually change that URL, by the way, so
yeah.
It says PIDnews.com. But for now, Peering Into Darkness. The World Health Assembly is meeting in Geneva, Switzerland right now, and the Director General of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, gave her big speech yesterday and opened primarily talking about H1N1. She really, I think, hinted strongly that she was going to be ramping it up to phase six here pretty quickly. A couple of reasons why. One, she said that she sort of insinuated that she's being pressured to change the definition. And I don't know why she'd be pressured to change the definition so that it goes back down or stays at a five. But she also mentioned that it has expanded as far as the infection rate. And Japan definitely is they've got something big going on there because they started out a few days ago with four cases, and now they have – oh, gosh. When I wrote that this morning, it was 158, so they probably got more than that by now. Mm-hmm. They're closing schools down, and the definition for phase six is that you have sustained infection from human to human in more than one region, at least two separate regions of the world. Well, the United States and Mexico are in one region, and Japan is – I don't think they're in our region. I'm just betting they're not. So I think that we've gotten there, and Dr. Henry Nyman agrees. He thinks that we need to move to phase six too. So watch for that this week. I really think it's going to happen, and if that does happen, then Janet Napolitano may well have some more news to talk about here.
Yeah, and there are a couple of interesting things about this that we'll touch on. First, of course, is that anytime you see a pandemic like this, you got to think about the pale horse. But secondly, to borrow a phrase from, is it Rahm Emanuel, the president's chief of staff? Never let a good crisis go to waste. this could well be another opportunity for the globalists to use a crisis to assert greater control over, over the rest of us. So watch for that as well. And of course, your welfare will be the benefit they use to sell it. You know, it's to your benefit for us to be able to mandatorily require you to go into quarantine if you display symptoms.
That is right. And we'll talk more about this week on our little daily show. And also this week, we're going to be talking about Nancy Pelosi. We're also going to be talking about the Health Reform Act or whatever it's called. That is on the table right now. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that's being discussed in Washington at the same time.
H1N1. Not. So, yeah, a lot of things to talk about. But we're going to try to do it in bite-sized chunks so we don't, A, hit you with an hour's worth of listening all at once, and B, so that we can get it all in over the course of a week. So, can we do a shameless plug or a crass commercial?
Go right ahead.
I want to pat us on the back too hard, because that's really not the point of what we're doing here. But once again, something you wrote turned out to be prophetic, as this week the German patent office in Germany declined an application for a patent for what is called a killer chip, an RFID chip that, when triggered by radio signal, would emit a deadly dose of poison. Mm-hmm. The idea being that these would be inserted under the skin of visitors to a country, Saudi Arabia in this case, because it was a Saudi inventor who proposed it. And so if you overstay your visa or you stray from the approved zones or whatever, they just trigger a little device and boom, you're dead. Sounds very much like the BioStrain chip, which Sharon created fictitiously, of course. We have no inside information for the Armageddon strain, and which then, of course, also appeared in the God Conspiracy, which is now available. And so much for the plug.
And you know what? The God Conspiracy is our first publication on Kindle.
Yes, The God Conspiracy, my new novel, is now available not only as a trade paperback, but also as a PDF download, which is the most affordable way to go.
Well, we just think, honestly, you know, the way we have to do it has to be the print-on-demand option,
right?
Because we don't have any money to put up front.
Right.
Come on. But that just is so expensive for the buyer, so we're trying to find ways to make it cheaper. And Kindle is a really good option. If you've got the Kindle, go for it.
Yeah. Kindle is Amazon's got it discounted $7.95.
And the ebook right now is $5. But honestly, because we have to charge a certain amount for the Kindle, Amazon sort of has some rules. That price of that ebook may be going up. So
yeah, just
download it now.
Yeah, to match the price of the Kindle. But anyway, so much for that. You'll find links to all that stuff at PIDradio.com. And we'll be back again tomorrow, God willing, and talk more about the other interesting things we see in the world around us today.
Amen.
No, you can send us email, we think, at radio at peeringintodarkness.com.
And we'll get it over and over and over again if you send it to Gmail. So don't do that. You can also send us, you can log on to the forum, which is you know that, Earl.
Well, the link is at pidradio.com.
It's the Piercing the Darkness forum, which is, you guys.
Yeah, a fascinating group of like-minded folk.
I know it. Yep. It really is like a virtual congregation over there. You know what? Our 15-minute show is going to go 20.
Yeah. We've already overrun our 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody. Coming now. There's a new day coming.
On demand.
This is PID Radio.